Have you ever had that feeling, like you were part of a system, maybe, but one you couldn't quite see?
Yeah, like a quiet hum just beneath the surface.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Hints of rules, horses operating just beyond your perception.
Or maybe that reality itself felt, I don't know, subtly bent,
Yeah.
shaped around you.
Yes. By design, almost, without you knowing.
Like something just felt off.
Right. A small detail that doesn't quite fit, or maybe an unsettling silence that just whispers. Something hidden.
Something underneath the surface of what you're being shown.
Well, today we're doing a deep dive into exactly that, this fascinating world of unseen mechanisms and controlled realities.
Sounds intriguing. So, how experiences are crafted?
Yeah, especially ones designed to be suspenseful or, even unsettling, how they're built to manipulate our perception.
And the scary part is.
The really chilling part. It often happens without us even realizing, operating just at the edge of our awareness,
In the quiet spaces.
Or the tiny inconsistencies, the stuff that just haunts the edges of understanding.
Okay, so where are we drawing this from? What are the sources?
We've got some really compelling stuff. On one hand, design guides for creating psychological horror.
Oh, interesting. The blueprints, basically.
Exactly. Material that lays out how to craft narratives that operate in the shadows, focusing on what's not shown, what's just implied.
Okay, and the other hand.
And then we're going to dissect a real-world place, something that seems totally normal, maybe even fun. But when you look closer, it functions with its own hidden laws, its own, like, internal police force, its own protocols.
Wow. So operating outside conventional oversight.
Pretty much, almost like its own little bubble world.
Okay, so what's the goal here? What's our mission for this deep dive?
Our mission is to unpack all those subtle cues, the deliberate omissions, the hidden structures that kind of shape our experience without us noticing.
Revealing how silence can actually be suspicious.
Yeah, and how memory can be distorted in weird ways.
And even how, like, tiny details can be part of a bigger unseen machine.
Right. All designed to get a specific response or maintain some kind of control. It's about peeling back the layers, finding the intention behind it all.
The designed and sometimes unsettling intention.
Okay, let's unpack this then. For me, it immediately brings up that feeling of being just slightly off balance, Like there's always a bigger picture just out of reach.
Yeah, it's not just what you see or what you're told.
No, it's about what you think you're seeing or trying to see, what you're grasping for but can't quite
There's the
resolve.
controlled ambiguity.
Exactly. When
Yeah.
you, the audience, become the detective in this reality that keeps shifting into your feet.
And what's really fascinating, I think, is how these design principles, the ones used for stories, pop up in the real world.
You mean creating actual controlled zones?
Pretty much. Where the rules you expect to apply just don't, or they're different and hidden.
Wow. Designing an experience that messes with your reality, not just in a story, but in a physical place.
Exactly. Subtly, but profoundly.
Okay, so to really get this, let's start with the core philosophy, the thinking behind crafting this kind of suspense or dread.
Right. The sources point to a key principle for making experiences that really stick with you, that linger.
Which is?
Horror is never explicitly explained, it's only hinted at.
Ah, okay. So no monster reveal in bright lights.
No, it's about making you feel the presence, the distortions it leaves behind, the shadow it casts in your mind.
Gotcha. It's all about the implication.
Precisely. The idea is that real tension, real horror, or just that pervasive sense of an unseen system comes from what's not shown, what's not said out loud.
So in this kind of design, the atmosphere itself is loaded.
Totally. Silence isn't just silence. It's suspicious. It feels heavy.
Shadows aren't just lack of light.
They mean something. They hide something. And nothing is just random.
Nothing's accidental.
No, every detail feels connected. Every weird thing is like a thread in a bigger pattern.
So it's not about jump scares or those long explanation scenes?
Definitely not. The guides are clear.
Yeah.
It's about threads, hints, and broken recordings.
Broken recordings. That's evocative, like getting shattered pieces of a mirror.
Exactly. Each bit gives you a glimpse, but it's distorted, incomplete.
Then you have to try and piece it together, but you never quite can.
Right. And every single detail, no matter how small, has to feel like it's part of this bigger unseen mechanism, a cog in a hidden machine.
Okay, but why is that so effective? What's the psychology there?
Well, it forces you to do the work, right? You have to fill in the gaps.
Our brains want to find patterns, make sense of things.
Exactly. We're wired for it. So when you only get fragments, your imagination kicks in.
And what you imagine is often way scarier than anything they could show you.
Or more insidious, yeah. It taps into your personal fears. It exploits that pattern-seeking tendency.
Leading to a deeper, more personal kind of dread.
It's psychological resonance, not just cheap shocks. It weaponizes ambiguity against you.
Wow. Okay, that's yeah, that's profound. It's like they're hijacking your own brain to create the fear.
Pretty much.
So how does this apply outside of horror stories in everyday life?
Well, think about it. Subtle hints, things left unsaid. They create unease anywhere, right?
Yeah, if someone gives you a cryptic comment and then clams up.
My mind starts racing, trying to connect dots, build narratives.
Even if there's nothing really there.
It's the same mechanism. Absence of information or deliberate scarcity is powerful.
Which leads nicely into the next theme, right? This idea that everything connects to something bigger.
Yes. Whether it's a story or a real system, the idea is that nothing stands alone. Every event, every detail.
It's all part of a larger system,
right?
A cover-up, a pattern.
Or maybe even a test, something huge and hidden orchestrating things.
And this introduces those entities you mentioned earlier, the ambient ones.
Right. They don't show up like a typical monster. They corrupt.
Corrupt how?
They infect the environment, the data, the atmosphere, the fabric of reality around you. It's insidious.
Like a background hum you can't quite place, but you know it's affecting things.
Exactly. You start doubting your own senses, your own judgment. It's a subtle influence, not a physical presence.
That creates this pervasive dread then.
Mm-hmm.
Or this feeling of being trapped in a system you can't see.
Precisely. It's not a single problem you can fix. It's systemic. It's built into the reality you're in.
You can't escape it because it is the environment.
Yeah, that ambient corruption. It's like a quiet infection of the ordinary.
So what does it mean then if the thing, the source of control, the corruption, is never actually seen, only felt?
It really challenges your sense of agency, doesn't it?
Totally. If it's faceless, formless.
Yeah.
How do you even understand it, let alone resist?
Every interaction just feels like brushing up against this massive thing that refuses to be seen.
Always close, always impacting you, but ultimately unknowable.
And that ambiguity, that lack of clarity, leads to another crucial design point.
Which is?
Focusing on why things are documented, not just what happened.
Okay. So it's not just, here's the spooky event record.
No, it's digging into the intent. Why was this recorded? Why kept? Why redacted here?
It shifts focus from just receiving info to investigating its purpose.
Exactly.
So the act of documentation itself is part of the puzzle. That's fascinating. It adds this layer of conspiracy or curation.
Right. Who created these documents? Why this way? What purpose do they serve in the bigger mechanism?
Every file, every memo becomes a potential clue. Or maybe misdirection.
It transforms facts into potential evidence within a hidden structure. You have to analyze deeper.
Every redacted line, every weird timestamp.
Yeah.
It's not just an error.
It's a deliberate choice. A signpost pointing to something hidden, something you're not meant to see. The mechanism protecting itself.
How does that make us think about information in our own lives? News reports, company memos.
Were we asking why this exists? Why it's presented this way?
Who decided to document it, and what's their agenda beyond just informing?
It pushes for critical thinking, right? Looking beyond the surface.
Definitely encourages skepticism. Makes you question the source, the motive.
It's about understanding the agenda behind the facts, which is vital. Okay, so how is this done? Let's get into the specific techniques, starting with sound.
The audio and atmosphere. The sources were super specific, minimal cues, but really unsettling ones.
Right, like those long, unnatural silences.
The ones that stretch out and make you strain to hear anything.
Yeah, creates this horrible internal tension or reversed sound.
Yeah, instantly feels wrong. Reality playing backwards.
And distortion, off-frequency stuff that just grates on your nerves.
Yes, or low hums that feel like they're vibrating inside you.
Suggesting unseen machinery or slow tape drag, making voices sound wrong, demonic almost.
And crucially, no dramatic music swells.
Okay.
No Hollywood scoring.
None. Only what the sources call analog terror textures.
Analog terror textures. I like that. Sounds that feel broken, old, corrupted.
Taps into primal fears of malfunction, decay, reality gone wrong, a deep underlying problem.
And sounds become clues, like story elements.
Exactly. Faint mechanical whirring suggesting a hidden machine, distant breathing.
Implying someone else is there, unseen.
Right. Or countdowns, Or those overlapping whispers you can almost understand.
But never quite make out. That's torture.
Turns listening into an active, terrifying puzzle.
And the silence. The dead air. That definition was key.
Yeah. Not a gap, it's tension. It's deliberate manipulation.
Forces you to lean in, fill the void with your own anxieties.
I think you create the tension internally. It's using absence as powerfully as presence.
Imagine getting just a faint, weird hum that subtly changes.
Right.
Or whisper under static.
Your mind would go into overdrive trying to figure it out, feeling like you're on the verge of something.
Yeah. So how much of our reality, our feeling of safety, is shaped by sound or its absence?
It's a huge question. Exploiting the brain's need to find meaning in noise or lack thereof, it engages those primal instincts without an obvious threat.
Okay, building on that,
yeah.
Dialogue, the human element, how does that get twisted?
Well, characters aren't your typical horror movie types screaming and running into danger.
No.
They're described as rational but confused.
Trying to apply logic to something illogical.
Exactly. Which makes their confusion more jarring, more relatable. Their struggle is yours.
And there's that play with memory distortion.
Oh, yeah. People forgetting things too quickly. Like an event just gets erased.
Or the opposite, remembering too clearly.
With perfect, unsettling recall of tiny, disturbing details, it makes you question memory itself.
Did it really happen like that? Or did I misremember? Or was it altered?
Plants that seed of self-doubt, undermines your own perception.
And here's the really creepy part you mentioned. The idea that a calm reaction is scarier than panic.
Right. The sources say the scariest thing is when no one reacts appropriately.
The wrong emotion at the wrong time.
Is way scarier than a scream. Imagine someone sees something awful and just calmly observes it or seems relieved.
That is chilling. It defies expectations of how people should react.
Suggests a deeper psychological break. Or a hidden agenda, or control that goes right into their emotional core.
Creates that cognitive dissonance.
Yeah.
Makes you rethink everything.
And to pile on the doubt, they use unreliable transcripts.
Not just messy notes, but deliberately messed with.
Exactly. Redactions, mismatched timestamps, suggesting tampering, weird gaps in recordings.
Mirrors that feeling of hidden system manipulating information.
Perfectly. Makes every piece of evidence suspect. You can't trust the record.
How does that reflect real-world stuff? Trying to understand complex events when info is missing or spun.
We see it all the time, don't we? Conflicting accounts, missing evidence, official stories that don't quite add up.
Forces you to be a detective, questioning everything. Fosters distrust.
It's a powerful way to make you think critically, read between the lines, look for what's not being said.
Okay, so what about specific psychological tricks? Devices to really mess with perception.
Right, let's get into those. One big one is the memory loop.
Like, she'd already been here, but the room had changed.
Exactly. Not just deja vu. It creates spatial or temporal instability. The environment itself feels untrustworthy.
Like a glitch in the matrix. Makes you doubt linear time, stable space.
Then there's parasitic footage.
Described as the more they watched, the harder it was to stop.
Yeah. Suggests information itself is infectious. Just observing it harms you.
Plays on fears of mental contamination. Knowledge as a disease.
Precisely. The act of knowing becomes dangerous.
What else?
Pattern logic. Using repeating numbers, names, colors across different files.
As seed clues, little breadcrumbs.
Right. Taps into our need to find order, connect dots.
But the patterns lead somewhere unsettling. Or nowhere.
Often, yeah. Or they hint at a huge design you can't grasp. It's a tormenting loop of almost understanding.
Like a cosmic puzzle with missing pieces, or pieces that reveal something awful when put together.
And you feel compelled to solve it, but every answer just raises more questions.
Okay, and the last one you mentioned was bureaucratic horror.
Yes. Forms, requests, internal memos, but from unknowable departments.
So not monsters, but paperwork.
Exactly. The horror of faceless, overwhelming, indifferent systems.
Implying this vast, inescapable control structure.
Where the mundane, the administrative, becomes terrifying because it's pervasive, impersonal, inescapable.
The terror of being just a data point in a machine you can't understand.
It can process you, categorize you, erase you, all with just a signature on a form. No face, just procedure.
Wow. Those repeating numbers across files, hinting at a grand design. Or endless forms leading nowhere.
Just deeper into the maze, draining your agency.
Like the worst parts of dealing with huge institutions, but amplified where the frustration is the point. a tool of control.
And connecting this back, these aren't just story tricks. They're methods to induce helplessness, disorientation, paranoia within a perceived system.
Fictional or potentially real.
They erode your trust and perception instability.
Okay, now the overall style, how the story itself is told, that matters too, right?
Hugely. It has to be grounded, never exaggerated.
Understated. Using emotional language carefully.
Like restraint, yeah. The horror emerges from the details, not from dramatic descriptions. You feel it yourself.
And treating cases like leaked documents or recovered files.
Adds that immediate layer of realism, of conspiracy, like you're getting access to something secret, maybe dangerous.
And using forensic terms reinforces that. Recorded, flagged, surveillance, incident, archive, sealed.
Totally. Puts you in the mindset of an investigator piecing things together, makes you complicit.
And that haunting language, phrases like, the tape never blinked.
Evokes an unblinking mechanical witness, or he was standing in the static.
Suggests a presence within the noise itself.
Or the last log ends with a knock. That sudden, final, unsettling sound.
They're evocative, not explicit. Chilling visuals, implications, but no easy answers. Imagery carries the tension.
And the focus is on setting, silence, and contradiction. Like that example, the door was locked, but she was already inside.
That's not just a mistake, it's a paradox.
Forces you to confront the illogical. Shatters your sense of how things should work, undermines basic stability.
And stories escalate slowly. No jump scares right at the start.
Builds tension organically, a slow burn erosion of comfort.
And they end.
With a disturbing line or question, no hard conclusions.
Keeps the unseen. Unseen leaves you unsettled, thinking.
Searching for answers that aren't provided. Consider these examples from the sources. They're perfect. The facility was shut down in 1992. The footage is dated 1998.
Boom. Instant contradiction, hidden continuation, operating outside the rules, outside time, maybe.
Or the next photo on the roll wasn't of the tunnel, it was of them sleeping.
Ugh, terrifying invasion. Violation, subverts expectations, turns mundane into sinister.
Exactly, or this one. It wasn't a room, it was a trap, and someone keeps resetting it.
Oh man, existential dread, endless cycle of torment, bureaucratic horror at its peak, no escape, just reset.
Or the quiet creepiness of, she's been in every school photo since 1983. Same age, same hair.
Whoa. Subtle, impossible anomaly. Existing outside time, unchanging. Psychological bombs, like you said.
So yeah, the phrasing, the cadence, the ambiguity, it leaves a deeper dread than any overt scare.
It's all engineered. Every detail chips away at your comfort. Your understanding leaves you questioning.
Right. And now, armed with all this theory about how these unseen realities are crafted, let's pivot.
To the real world.
To a real world manifestation, a place you'd never expect, Disney World.
Wait, Disney World, seriously? The happiest place on earth. You're saying that's like these horror designs.
Not just a fun park. Our sources frame it provocatively. What if it's a controlled zone?
The controlled zone, like with its own laws, its own police.
And no one watching from the outside. That's the claim.
Okay, my mind is kind of blown already. I think magic, cartoons, Mickey Mouse, not hidden laws, and lack of oversight.
It's a total paradigm shift, I know.
Yeah.
But the sources point to history. Back in the 60s, Walt Disney cut an incredible deal with Florida.
What kind of deal?
They created the Reedy Creek Improvement District, a special governmental zone where Disney essentially writes the rule.
Writes the rules, like legally.
Yes. Building codes, waste management, even their own fire department, emergency services, and a massive internal security force, basically their own cops.
Okay, wow. So what's the implication of that autonomy?
The sources put it bluntly, when something happens here, it never has to officially reach the news or external authorities like the county sheriff.
So it's contained. It's not just private property. It's like a mini government.
Pretty much. A real world example of a self-contained, self-regulated system. Operating just like those unseen mechanisms we talked about.
Power exercised through legal frameworks, internal protocols, clever design, creating its own reality bubble.
And the lack of external oversight is key, reinforces that hidden functioning. It's a fascinating case study.
What are the implications then of a private company having that much governmental power?
It shapes the experience for everyone inside, right? It's a manufactured reality designed to be self-sufficient, self-governing, a closed loop.
You're stepping into their system, not just their park.
And this control shows up in really subtle design choices. Engineering invisibility, engineering autonomy.
Like the Tower of Terror example.
Exactly. It's 199 feet tall, not 200.
Why? That seems weirdly specific.
Because one more foot and the FAA would require lights, permits, oversight.
So they built it 1 foot short, to stay invisible to federal regulation.
Precisely. Meticulous engineering to avoid external rules. The building itself is a monument to internal control, an unseen mechanism in concrete and steel.
Okay, that's wild.
What else? The flags on Main Street, they look like American flags, right?
Yeah.
They're not. Look closely, one stripe missing or a star wrong. Subtle differences.
How do that?
So they never have to lower them to half-mast for national tragedies. They don't have to follow official flag code. No outside rules apply.
Maintaining that curated reality, free from intrusions from the real world, even sad ones.
It's asserting autonomy. It's unreliable documentation made physical. Even symbols are altered for the system.
Every detail serving a purpose within the mechanism. The why is more important than the what. Avoiding oversight, maintaining appearances.
And then you have things like the Haunted Mansion hearse.
Yeah. What about it?
It's real. Bought from an actual funeral home, not a prop.
Seriously. In a world of fantasy, yep. That one stark, real, macabre detail
stands out, doesn't it? A touch of the genuinely unsettling. Maybe a hint of the real reality underneath.
And that metal ring you mentioned. New exits.
Not decoration. A fixed marker. Used by staff who know exactly what it means.
For internal operations? Measurements? Coordination?
Quite likely. Suggests a whole internal language, a hidden layer of operation invisible to guests, but crucial for running the zone.
Like the pattern logic, but for employees only. Revealing coordination we never see.
These examples show how tiny adjustments create huge autonomy, right?
Yeah, it's not grand gestures. It's micro design accumulating into total control. Makes you wonder about other environments, corporate campuses, secure facilities.
Do they have similar invisible designs? It challenges us to look deeper.
It's deliberate engineering of reality, not just cost savings, strategic choices to maintain an independent ecosystem.
Reflecting those unseen mechanisms perfectly, controlling the narrative, the environment, the experience, all while making it seem effortless, magical even.
Which brings us to the most extreme form of control, life and death.
Yeah. Sources say Disney has its own security, its own jail, emphasizing internal authority.
Okay.
But the most chilling part is the alleged protocol for managing mortality, moving people off property before they're declared dead.
Wait, what? Why?
The source states, if you die inside the park, they'll keep you alive until you're outside. So on paper, it never happened here.
Oh my God. So they manage death statistics by physically moving people.
That's the claim. It illustrates the extent of internal control, manipulating records to maintain the public image. On paper, it never happened here.
That's bureaucratic horror made real. Bending official documentation, erasing inconvenient events from the record.
It's really unsettling. Literally moving people, keeping them technically alive, just to cross an invisible line so the death never happened here.
That's profound control over reality, over the public record. Manipulating facts of life and death for the system's narrative. Unreliable transcripts taken to the extreme.
It raises huge questions, doesn't it? What does it mean for any entity to have that kind of power? Controlling its own stats, its own narrative.
How does that shape our idea of safe spaces when fundamental events are managed to maintain an illusion?
Makes you wonder about other places, other systems, with their own unwritten rules dictating the official version of reality.
Which loops back to that final provocative statement from the sources.
Right, the one that ties it all together. This isn't a theme park, it's a live simulation.
Of a perfect system tested every day on millions of volunteers, including you. Wow.
It's a huge thought experiment. What if the perfect system isn't perfect for the people in it, but perfect for the system itself, for its own survival, its own efficiency?
And how many other simulations are we part of without realizing?
It reframes Disney not as entertainment, but as this massive ongoing experiment in systemic control. The visitors, millions of volunteers, are unwitting test subjects.
Making us complicit. It's the ultimate unseen mechanism, operating on a huge scale, refining itself constantly under that veneer of fantasy.
It's definitely something to think about, that even in leisure, we might be part of an unseen experiment.
So we've seen how subtle audio, unreliable info, psychological tricks, even real-world design, create these powerful unseen mechanisms.
Forces that shape our perception, our experience, guide our understanding, often without us noticing.
From the quiet terror of the unsaid to the hidden rules of a place like Disney World, the unseen holds profound power.
It's a potent reminder that perceived reality is often constructed, whether in a story or through strategic, invisible design in the world around us.
The magic or the horror is often in what's hidden, altered, controlled just beyond our awareness.
Exactly.
So the next time you encounter a weird silence, a detail that feels off, an inconsistency, whether it's fiction or fact.
Pause for a second.
Yeah, ask yourself, is this just random? An anomaly? Or are you catching a glimpse of a bigger unseen mechanism at play?
Designed to control, or maybe even corrupt the reality around you.
Nudging your perception without you knowing. What other systems might be operating just beyond your view, quietly bending your world.